Alright, time for another Google is Evil or DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yeah. Alright, so a video about how we think, you know, how your brain is working, sort of. So a couple of videos came up. Mystic is always talking in some way or another about consciousness and he doesn't say robot too often, but how it's all just, there's no, you know, we don't manufacture any of this. There's no we to manufacture it. There's not some engine inside of you, okay, that's a you, by any word that could be used, the word you. You're just a victim of where your brain functions, just like you're a victim of how your liver functions or your kidneys function or your heart functions. It's just an organ, and the organ does a certain thing. It pumps a certain way. And every individual ends up pumping different because they get hit by the environment. The environment is what's changing it. So if you have liver disease, it's because you ate the wrong food, right? You allowed some other infection or some other thing to degrade its function. And the same thing happens to brains and blah, 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 blah. All right, then there's another video by old Anti-Bullshit Man. So he changed his name, which is funny, to No Avail. And now he wants to talk as if, he's old Anti-Bullshit Man in the sense he's wants to take off the the civilization filter and speak his mind. And so it's all kind of ironic in a sense that he changed his name, and he probably should just go back to his old name and pretend it's for real this time. Sort of. But we know he's really not going to do any of this stuff. Okay, he's not gonna think out loud for real. Because nobody can, really. You really can't, because you'll say things that just can't be said without a gigantic context placed with them, okay? Where you'll have to explain what you're saying, because people will take it as you saying something you're not really saying because of that context. They don't care about anything being correctly understood. They just care about tripping you and catching you and destroying you in some manner. And so you just can't use reckless rhetoric. I mean, I'm learning that lesson. You can't be yourself, okay? Because you will be obliged to pick up every trivial misstep. I mean, every trivial, it has nothing to do with the goal. It just has to do with how you got there, and they'll just sit there and you'll waste the rest of your life explaining every step. Even though you won the race, they're going to say, well, you know, at 15 feet 7 inches into the on the track, you stepped with your left foot instead of your right foot. I didn't say I got to the goal perfectly. I'm saying I got to the goal. All right, well, anyway, just that kind of bullshit. Okay, so, it's all bullshit.
Ought to be. Whoa. Every single negative...
Okay, so it was a bit of a rant, and, it's sort of trivial, because it's a rant about ranting, which isn't a very interesting subject. So anyway, then there's another video by Sabim Hassenfelder, supposed to be a physicist, who just talks a lot of shit about a lot of shit now. Watch it, but it's basically posing the question, are humans just computers? And of course they are, frankly, except for a gigantic difference, okay, in the sense that we can't synthesize a sensation. We can't make in a computer device. We don't have the hardware or the software to be able to synthesize an actual feeling, okay. You're not going to be able to manifest torture or ecstasy in a computer program. Just not going to happen. You can mimic it in a superficial way. You could make a computer that says, ouch, 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 but it's not going to feel ouch, 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 ouch. So that's the bullshit part of the comparison. But clearly the part where we're thinking is probably, I mean, it's not, obviously it's not made out of silicone chips. I mean, it's not the same thing, but it's the same idea of just storing and associating words, concepts, ideas, and that's all it's manipulating. So, I had just a bunch of different thoughts about how stupid the world is and why it's this stupid is, you know, and so one of them is just on this whole idea of all the retarded rewards and punishments we've now created, and, you know, tipping the whole world upside down. We're punishing the innocent and, you know, rewarding the guilty all over the place. And, you know, I've run into some of that. And you're saying, you know, why, you know, what's the objective of the system is to get people aware of the fact that they have an obligation. Just as we have an obligation, you have an obligation not to let your dog poo in the middle of the sidewalk and not clean it up. You have an obligation in terms of your life not being poo on the sidewalk. You have an obligation to perform in your existence here. And so that's the first thing to make people aware of is that other people matter. The society matters. The civilization matters. And if you're a blight in that civilization, that's not a good thing. Okay? It's not a good thing for the people you're blighting. And it's not a good thing if you have any kind of understanding of what you're here to be. So if you're here to be a virus, a disease, a pestilence, you're not thinking very well. Okay, you've got a really broken brain, because this really is just the idea of what are you going to, if you're going to make a universe, you're going to make a universe that has a tortured rabbit in it or a happy rabbit in it. Yeah. What are you going to do? You know, and that logic is so obvious that, you know, any idiot should be able to figure it out. Any idiot should figure, yeah, if I was the only thing in the universe, somebody shouldn't create me to be tortured. They should create me to feel good. So it shouldn't be too hard to figure out what color hat you're supposed to be wearing while you're here on Earth. You know, that your ambition should be, I must not be a blight. you know, I have to, whatever I do in my life, the net result, the end result has to be, I wasn't a disease. I wasn't a harm. I wasn't, you know, I didn't make the place worse for having me in it. So that should be an ambition that every person concedes that's the objective. And then the question for all these people who show so little respect for that idea by committing all these crimes, against others and against the civilization and against the institutions and against all the things that we need to protect, they should be able to figure out that, you know, voting for lotteries even, you know, what are you voting for? You're voting for ruin. Yeah, okay. It's just too stupid. anyway, you know, you can find lots of subjects like that where people think they're voting for a positive when they're voting for a grotesque negative. So you have to get through your life and, you know, manage your life where you haven't harmed other people in some substantial way. And if you have, you have to be, the fact is, you have to do something on the good side to make up for it. You know, to overwhelm the amount of poison that was in the glass of water you are, you know, the event you are in the universe. So it comes down to this, just these stupid little concepts, these ideas. And that's what we should be, that should be the effort. So I thought of a way of trying to, you know, what judges should do, but they're way too stupid, is they shouldn't be worrying so much about imposing their little fines and their, you know, little, their trivial little punishments. The punishment of the process, frankly, is, you know, more than enough. You know, the logistics and hoop jumping of the stupid process. But anyway, of being tried, you know, it's just such bullshit. But what they should be trying to do is encourage the person to recognize what their role here is and why society would find it necessary to correct them, to protect itself from the blight. And so I thought of the analogy of cheating. We know that there's certain probabilities to rolling dice, and there's certain positive and negative. So you could just say that the number 7 and the number 11 are bad, bad, evil, evil. And negative thing happens in the universe. And you want to be, in terms of your influence, you want to make 7s and 11s less likely to happen. Or even better cards, like 21. If what are you doing in the universe? Are you making more face cards, cards with faces on them? are you replacing face cards with the crappy little digits that mean you can't get a 21? What are you making more likely in terms of how are you screwing with the odds of what will happen? Now, because we can't guarantee anything, okay? Good doesn't necessarily create good, and bad acts don't necessarily create bad outcomes. That's a fact, but we know that probabilistically they do. Okay, over the long run, okay, you're better off wearing a seatbelt. Over the long run, there's certain things that are just facts, glaring facts, in terms of what the likely outcome is going to be. And so those things should be respected by all people. And they should recognize this, if they're going against that, those probabilities, that is pretending those probabilities don't exist, that's a logical error. I mean, it's just plainly stupid and retarded, and it's nonsense, and they got to correct that, or society should just throw them out like a broken toaster. If the toaster's blowing the fuse box, if the toaster is stinking up the house, you don't play around, sit around saying, oh, let's try to fix the poor toaster. No, you throw it in the frickin' trash. So, there should be a bunch of 3-and-2-strike kind of rules. I mean, when you give people the speech and you explain to them, look, the whole reason why I'm pissed off is because you're a fucking disease. We're just waiting to happen. You're a disaster waiting to happen. You're speeding down this fucking goddamn residential street, for no good reason, just some little cheap wank. And risking real doom for real people for no good reason. I mean, just no good reason. And you do that more than once, throw that fucker out. I mean, what, they can't get it? It's too complicated for them? They haven't figured out that there's the disaster that could happen is going to be much worse the faster they're going? They can't figure that out? come on, too stupid. Yeah, and that's what's got to be, But you got to fix people in the sense that you got to, when you're doing the first strike thing, you got to at least make sure they understand why there's a second strike, and that's going to hurt, really hurt. And the third one's going to hurt even more if we catch you, you fucker. But the idea that they're not getting the simple little, the rules aren't all that draconian. I mean, we're not asking that much from human beings. It really shouldn't be too much of a fucking burden to be minimally civilized. That's all has to do with why we're just programmed devices, and we're programmed by what we believe, what we have learned. So, in that theme, back to the brain part. So I probably should put the Mystics picture on, but I'll leave old bullshit man here. What the hell? Doesn't really matter. Maybe a better image. Let's try this one. Yeah, it looks cranky. It's usually cranky. Alright, so how does the brain work? Well, there's no point in talking about, how it stores its neurons and how it makes and all that little bit crap, okay? The hardware is really complicated and probably no point. But the idea of what it's doing is it's just saying, well, here's an idea, okay? You have a word, okay? It's called good. And this word will be connected to a ton of things. And then the word bad, as an idea, will be connected to a ton of things. Just like the certain words like weight or, you know, certain certain words can be connected to a lot of things because a lot of things are associated with that kind of thing. You use it to measure. So ruler can be applied to fence. It can be applied to tree. It can be applied to house. It can be applied to, you know, a piece of spaghetti. Now, I said spaghetti, okay, for a reason. Because my brain associated before, earlier, when my brain was doing its thinking thing, it came up with the analogy. So I was trying to think of a way of describing what our how our brain functions. That's different than a computer. A computer is programmed to integrate ideas and concepts, and it's very strict, where our brain is a little different in terms of the associations are, it's a constant, there's a constant, see, his image isn't changing because the computer is just saying same image, don't change anything until somebody pushes a button. So it's just stuck. But we're never stuck. We never stay the same. There's a constant spin, okay? So this is what I was analogizing it to. The machine is, your consciousness is just this thing spinning. And what it's spinning in is a big pile of crap, okay? And it's kind of stringy, like spaghetti. So that's why I said spaghetti. It's because I had a previous, on the spinner, a thread went spinning around that had spaghetti on it, okay? The word spaghetti. The idea of spaghetti. And so now that's on the wheel, the spaghetti, okay? And so now it can be associated because it's a recent word. It's higher on the pile of spaghetti. And so you're spinning something on top of a pile of spaghetti, and there's little ends that are really, you know, they're deep, but they start to migrate up, okay? And then the little end spins on the wheel of our consciousness as an idea. Now that's, it's really our subconscious that's doing the spinning, and it's our subconscious that's collecting spaghetti. Okay, it's collecting concepts, it's collecting words, it's collecting ideas, and then it has to put those into grammatical sentences. Okay, so that's another process that we don't get to see, and then we see what it gurgitates as an end product. So everything I just said wasn't something I said, okay? I didn't do anything. The part that is watching what the spaghetti wheel throws into consciousness, I have no idea how it made it, okay? I just see it produces this end product that I call me, okay? Yeah, me did it, but me brain did it, okay? I didn't do it. And just like I don't know how my liver does whatever it does to filter this shit and do this and do that, I don't have any, you know, there's no direct connection. I don't feel my liver working. I don't feel my subconscious making sentences and paragraphs and pages, but it's doing it. So it has a formatting engine that attempts to put everything into story form, into a narrative that can be explained. And it tries to clean it up. You know, it has to clean up all the spaghetti crap and all these little pieces. It has to clean them up into a story, like the three pigs or, you know, Little Red Riding Hood. It has to make a story out of it. So it takes the ideas, the themes, grandfather clock, this, that, and just starts decorating the story with those concepts. And, but I don't get to see any of that organization. I just get to hear the story it tells. So the fact that my brain used the three pigs and the, you know, Goldilocks and all that, because I use these references. And so there, it knows how to make stories out of some things really easy and some things it has to work a little harder on. But the idea is that's all it's doing, is writing the story of the narrative of the, what the theme is it wants to project. So it's, I didn't just recite three pigs to you. I recited another fable, so to speak, the fable that I just made up, my brain just made up this story about how to explain how the brain works. I have I have some sense, okay? The consciousness lets me know a little bit. I can see the some pieces of the spaghetti fly by, and I can see it. You know, so I know the theme. I know what the subconscious is up to. I know it's trying to create the story of how the brain works. And I know some of the ideas, you know, the basic rules of this story is that, yes, we are robots. Yes, we're programmed by what we learn, and specifically what we learn about right and wrong, and what we learn about what our role here is, you know, whether there's a God that we're supposed to be pleasing. But again, I don't think anyone's stupid enough to really believe in God, right? They just are afraid. They're superstitious. You know, that's all. God is a superstition. So they think, oh yeah, a black cat walked in front of me. Damn it, I'm going to be unlucky today. You know, so they have some vague notion. There might be, oh yeah, there might be some stupid rule. Don't step on a crack, it'll break your mother's back. Well, I don't really want to break her back, so I won't step on it just as a default. I'm not going to go around jumping on cracks, you know, because I'm scared of voodoo. You know, so yeah, some people are superstitious, but they don't really believe any of this crap. And yeah, everybody knows they don't believe it. And you can see it in their behavior. If they really believed it, they would sit there and be reading the instruction manual every day and saying, boy, I'm way out of line. You know, I got to grow my beard, and I got to do this, and I got lots of things to do, you know, to measure up by what the manual says. This is too stupid. I mean, just see, I depress myself because I, you know, the concepts are spinning, the spaghetti's spinning, the little pieces are connected to each other by the words. The words make the spaghetti stick. So wherever there's an important word, there's a whole bunch of spaghetti stuck to that word. So when that one comes up, whoa, big bunch of pile of crap starts spinning on the spinner. In other words, the word is, you only use it in, you know, tiny little locations, you know, needle-nose pliers, you know, sitting on the table. Yeah, you only use that in tiny locations. You know, ironically, it came up in a Warbles video, needle-nose pliers. That's a pure coincidence. So that didn't have anything to do with anything, because my brain didn't really see them. It saw them on the side and had to figure out what they were first. So it wasn't like it went out and it said, find needle-nose pliers because you heard the word. So it's a real pure coincidence. All right, anyway, so we'll take a tiny break and try to, we'll let the spaghetti slop around and see what it does. All right, so what my brain thought of was why do I make these videos and all of that? And yeah, it's to point out the most heinous of possible crimes, the most make yourself a huge giant poo. You know, make yourself a horrible virus and blight. Is procreation, is this silly notion that you're going to make human beings these very dysfunctional machines. And they are very dysfunctional. They are not constructed to be good. They're not constructed to be graceful and do all these things, and clearly most of them turn out pretty fat and smelly and stupid and all these negative things, way too many. Okay. Even the best of us, even the most perfect of us, you know, die a miserable death, blah blah blah. It's a trap. It's a terrible, awful consciousness trap, where you're just chasing for whatever you get in number of years. And you're chasing understanding, you're chasing satisfaction, you're chasing some kind of stable life that's manageable and comfortable. And it's very hard to achieve. So even when you have, like Anti-Bullshit Man in a way was describing that in some ways he's semi-financially secure, so he doesn't have to worry too much about offending the boss or offending this or offending that anymore. And he can be more free. He's more free, okay? Because he's not bound to disaster if he offends the wrong person. He doesn't have to be as careful where he steps or how he steps. And that's a part of the peace of mind of existence. But clearly it's not the solution, right? So having security, having this, having that, still doesn't get rid of the problem of existing in a shithole or a cesspool. Or, you know, the rest of it's broken, it just doesn't matter. I mean, you could be in the, you know, a $1 million yacht, but if you're sailing by where the, the sewage outlet for all of L.A. or something, and the water stinks, and it's just horrid. What's the point, right? Your million-dollar boat is a piece of shit. It doesn't mean anything. You might as well be on a raft because you're not going to enjoy the trip. And so that's the one of these huge problems of being a living organism is even if you're doing everything right, the environment could be wrong. You're born in the wrong place. There's a drought. There's this. There's that. You get cancer. I mean, it's just all of this shit that can fall on you. The knives are just, it's just a dodging knife game. Why would you set somebody up to play dodge the knives? And that's all it is. I can do all the other metaphors. Why would you throw a kid onto a tightrope, with one misstep and you're in the knives? Only a sadistic, cruel, evil bastard would do that shit. All right, so that, anyway, I just wanted to throw that in, that, these conversations only have meaning, real meaning, if you get the real answers right. And the real answer to all this conversation is being alive is not some blessed event. It's not some wonderful thing. It's not any of that crap. Most of the minds, most of the brains are struggling to try to find some peace and quiet and comfort. Desperately seeking. They're not having, they're seeking. And it's not a good position to be in. And then some of them are just outright being tortured. And again, it's on the dice you're rolling. Torture is on the dice. I mean, you're really just saying, I'm going to throw these dice, even though torture is on them, for this trivial idea that I want to play with my children. Or some kind of, I want to watch them turn into mediocre jackasses. I mean, whatever the bullshit is, it's bullshit. Torture isn't worth it. I have to say that. The very fact that you have to... I have to make an argument defending the idea that torture isn't worth it? So you can, the angst is in bullshit, man. The angst is in me. The angst is even in the modern mystic, except he tries to, pretend he's unangst. But he's plenty angst. This isn't some pleasure cruise. This is a, for any kind of brain that's functioning, if you have organs that can actually sense, you can smell the stench. You can see the blight. You can feel it, soaking in and poisoning your flesh. You can feel the radiation of bad news, bad game. It's written all over the game. The blood is all over the place. And. You're just, again, too stupid. If you can't see it, it's because you're blinded by ignorance. A profound ignorance. And it's an ignorance created by a superstition because you have some idea of love and hope. You see, you have some silly, I don't really believe in the religion, but maybe. maybe. It's just, that's why you're ignorant. It's because you've wasted your neurology. Every time your brain starts, there are probabilities. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm really doing. If I'm endorsing me taking the risk, I'm endorsing everybody else take. I know how to speed without killing anyone. It's just those other speeders who are fucking up. That kind of bullshit. So, some bullshit idea in your head is just spinning on the spinner, and it just doesn't stick to anything. Okay, it's like Teflon spaghetti. And so the whole thought process, the whole idea of logic breaks down because you've broken the idea of logic. You've broken the idea that ideas have to be connected, and you have to recognize that you can't pretend the probabilities don't exist and they don't apply to you. And because everything's fine in your house, everything's fine in the universe. I mean, that those kind of dopey, illogical ideas just, you know, again, it just makes the whole idea of what logic is and what thinking is, it just breaks it all. All right, so yeah, I'll pause and get back to the spaghetti subject. All right, so my brain was thinking a little bit, so, you know, working the spaghetti, and then it worked into the history and why I am what I am and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, these certain little points. Okay, yes, I think about the downside, the negatives. And I do it because I did it as a kid. And, you know, I recognized, I saw things that were living different than I was living. Things with one leg or things with some kind of, you know, defect. And I posed the question, why? Okay. And the answer was shit. Okay, well, it's the way it is, you know, God's will be done, some kind of bullshit. And I said, shit, well, that doesn't protect anything. That's just mush. What kind of God would will a guy to have one leg? I mean, that's just retarded. And then it gets worse and worse as you grow up. You find out that all these animals are all feeling and they're all being tortured and nature's, you believe, you find out what evolution is, and then you find out how, oh, wow, you know, 9 out of 10 lion cubs are dead before they're a year old. Gee, that's not too good. And then you start thinking about what that means. Yeah, I mean, the mother gets killed by a cobra, and, you know, the cubs are left to be hyena food. How many times does that have to happen on Earth before I say, hey, let's, whoa, stop. We have already accrued too much negative here. We've already got, we're paying way too much in financing charges. We got to stop this, okay? This credit card is out of control already. We're already out of control, right? So from my perspective, I can't make any justification for my own existence at that price, let alone anybody else's existence. What about this is so charming and spectacular that I'm going to torture little kittens for it? I'm not going to do that. So that's what my brain did. And so I, you know, as a kid, I said, you know, I explained that, you know, you could sort of predict where I was going to end up in life because, yeah, as a kid, when I went to sleep, if I wasn't, you know, in a humping mood, you know, I contemplated in kind of terror, what's happening right now on Earth? You know, what's happening to people and what's happening to animals and what's happening here, what's happening. And I just tried to imagine, you know, all the, right now somebody's, you know, there's a flood and they're drowning and another person, you know, I said, you know, right now there's an earthquake. You know, right now there's a, you know, somebody's sawing off, you know, they're gnawing off their own arm or something, you know, they're chewing their own arm off because they were in an earthquake and their arm is flat, and, you know, and they're having to chew their own arm off. You know, stuff like that. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, you're like, what the hell? Why are we doing this for? And then, because I would also internalize it and say, when's my turn, right? And then I'd hear the hurricane siren, you know, the tornado siren, you know, because I lived in a place that that happened a lot. You know, when's my turn to have to chew my arm off? I don't want to do that. So that's part of what I would imagine is you know, even the fact that they were basically telling you know, you're going to mature and be one of us, an adult. And I was like, why the fuck would I want to be one of you ugly fuckers? So that was another big problem. It's like, oh man, they're fat and smelly, why the hell do I want to be one of them? People weren't that fat back then, so I guess I can't use that argument. But they certainly didn't look like anything I wanted to grow into. So the whole thing seemed quite nasty. And, you know, I'm going to have all these adventures, and then I found out I'm going to grow old and die. What the fuck do I want to do that for? Where did I sign up for that? Grow old and die. I don't have any interest in playing this. So, I mean, I was already doomed because I couldn't see anything about the game that could justify it. You know, as much as I enjoyed my little sensual pleasures, I couldn't figure out how they were worth it at all. you know, I was always trying to make a bargain. Superstitiously, I would make bargains. You know, flip the light switch off 3 times and you won't get cancer. You know, so I was almost becoming, getting a compulsive disorder, you know, because that's what I was making the world into, is I was taking superstition to the, you know, just trying to find some way to get out of it, you know. Even making deals. I even made a few deals with God, you know, when I was in real substantial pain. Make this stop, and, you know, I will never shoplift or whatever thing, you know. I never shoplifted, but you know, I'm just trying to think of whatever the deal would be. You know, you can make my foot crooked or, you know, some kind of thing. I would accept some other punishment, okay? So I was trying to make a deal to get out of one thing by giving up something else that I cherished or valued. And that's what life is. It's a, let's make a deal, and you just have this stupid brain that's farting this crap. It's just so stupid. Oh, God, it's so pathetically stupid. So back to the angst. You know, so my spaghetti machine is running, and the angst, he knows that I was talking about angst and bullshit, man, and just how life is this angsty crap. And, you know, that has to do with the way we're built as animals, okay? Because we have all these organs squishing this juice into the spaghetti wheel. And so in certain circumstances, you don't have time to think, you know? So the wheel can't turn carefully and slowly, okay, and analyze all the spaghetti and do all that. It needs an answer now. Fix it now. It's panicking. It's uncomfortable. It's angsty. So that happens to us. We get these stupid adrenal pumps that start spinning the wheel faster and faster, and the spaghetti's flying all over the place. And, you know, it doesn't do much for careful thought. It just does things for, give me a really solid, real answer. Okay, even if it isn't the right answer, you know, punch it, stop it, kill it, suffocate it, you know, that kind of thing. You know, the strategy is just get you to do it and forget about any questions. Well, is it the right thing to do? So this is something else I thought about the other day, is, you know, some the morons, you know, they all got pit bulls here. You know, it's like 40% of the dogs or something, or 30% are pit bulls. I don't know. Too stupid. And, you know, some kid's walking it. And so there's a little girl next door, and she's going into her house, and the dog is going a little crazy, you know, and it's on a leash, but you know, this ain't, you know, this is too stupid, right? It's just asking for trouble, because the kid can't control the dog. You know, he's with the mother, has two other dogs, and so they all start yapping, they're all going a little bit nutty for no reason at all, just because somebody's walking into their fucking own house. All right, and I was thinking, well, what am I going to do? Like, say something like this happens. Okay, I could have a baseball bat on my porch, and, you know, or I could have an axe. Okay, you know, and I'm saying, well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to bother having a weapon, you might as well have the axe on the porch. All right, because, you know, sometimes, you might need that little extra advantage. And then I'm saying, well, and then when do I decide to go axe the dog? I mean, what does it have to be biting? If it's biting her leg, do I say, well, it's not too much damage? You know, because I'm going to be, you know, what's going to happen if I axe the fucking dog? I'm going to get sued. Yeah, all right? I'm going to get in trouble because I killed a fucking menacing dog. You know, I'm going to be in court for the next 10 years, and I'm going to be, you know, driven into poverty and all this other stuff because I dared to try to fix a circumstance that shouldn't even exist in the first place. And so my brain was just going through how, and I could, you know, I'm feeling the angst and the, you know, what would I really do? Would I stand there and say to the person who's in control of the dog, do I have your permission to whack your dog? Do I have to ask their permission first? I mean, and then do I have witnesses? So do I have to take a video camera with me too? So maybe I should tie a video camera to the axe just to be sure that I got his, yes, stop my dog, okay, before it rips her face off. I mean, you can see, you know. This is life. Life isn't some simple decision. So yeah, your brain is designed, your body, brain, machine is designed to say, fuck worrying about it, and just get so pissed off or get so uncomfortable that you just say, fuck it, and you take the axe and you whack the fucking dog. But, you know, this is what it comes to. You have to become irrational to act, because if you're really rational, you don't act, because everything is just jeopardy. Any action has just got layers and layers of doom tied to it. And so it's kind of funny because, yeah, I don't interact with anybody except on the internet almost. Because what there's just, it just carries liabilities. It just carries, oh, you took my advice and you went to the quick check to get a screwdriver or something, and oh, you had a car accident and killed four people. Oh, no. There's nothing you can do. There's no way you can interfere without risking disaster. And yes, most of the time it's minor. The risk is pretty small, but the risks are there. And it's to a thinking brain, I'm saying they're real. You can't deny their existence. And so the whole thing becomes this, disgusting jumping, you're jumping on the heads of crocodiles, to do your little life adventure. It's just, and you're figuring out what crocodile can I afford to jump on, which one looks the most menacing, which one looks like he's paying attention, and it's just, fuck, this is too stupid. This is a horrible position to be in. My example just illustrates how broken our civilization is and our culture, because it is true that I would be severely punished for doing the right thing, for attempting to mitigate against the torture and the harm. You're just subjecting yourself to being just completely irrationally defined as not a problem solver, but a problem maker. And it's just, you can see it in so many examples in our culture, how the system is back-assward. The guilty are rewarded, the good are punished. It's just too fucking stupid. Because we have a bunch of fucking morons imposing the law and enforcing the law. Retarded judges, retarded cops. I mean, it's disgusting. All right, so I guess I should get to the function of logic and how our brains do work. So, like a calculator, they learn the rules of how logic works and how you can combine ideas. And there is a rule to it, okay, a mechanism that fact checks in a way. So if I try to say something like 2 + 2 = 3, it's a lie and it's false and it's fake, and my brain knows it. And it knows it because there are rules to how you can manipulate these things. So I can't say, if somebody's dry and I say they're wet, the brain knows, the truth is it's not wet. It knows the difference between the right answer and the wrong answer, a false statement and a true statement. So it has a consistency engine. It's just basically saying that, when it's happening to you, it matters. So you can't play a game that when it's happening to somebody else, it doesn't matter. That's not logical. But yes, people do it all the time. But I'm just saying that basically the mechanism is capable of understanding when the machine is slowly thinking and doing it carefully, it doesn't make those kind of mistakes. And the brain does say something like, fuck you, okay, you're lying. All right, to say it doesn't matter when it's happening to somebody else is just too stupid. And your brain will say that and say, yeah, okay, I get it. My brain isn't better than their brain. My feelings aren't bigger, better feelings than their feelings. I can't play that game. So it does that simple amount of accounting, because when it's happening to us, we can tell. We can tell right and wrong. We can tell the difference between a good result and a bad result. We can tell the chance of winning. Is it a good chance of the right outcome or a bad chance of the right outcome? And we can tell when it's happening to us. So what are we? Why are we pretending we can't tell when it's happening to somebody else? You know, that kind of illogic will be known if you take time to think and let stuff roll. But if you're just preoccupied by the immediate, what do I feel right now? What do I want right now? So I just said the word feel, and I know part of this video has got to be about that big concept, because that's the big giant difference between us and some machine you can make. Now, we never make machines that have to do that are as vulnerable to irrationality as we are. That its addition is perfect. I mean, it doesn't lose any decimals. It doesn't lose any places. We do, okay? By our expedience, we cheat the argument a lot for a good outcome for us, because we're more important, and we can't change that. We can't change that subtle bias. And since some people, it's not a very subtle bias. It's a really strong bias. And it's hard to change that bias. What's the best outcome for me in this game? Not what's the best outcome for the team, so to speak. So, you know, that's part of this engine, is you have to put in this idea that what we're really feeling about each one of those pieces of spaghetti that rolls on the wheel has little subtle feelings attached to it. So as soon as I roll the piece of spaghetti that says little lion cubs being ripped to pieces by hyenas, you know, my body reacts with emotions and feelings. Now, they're subtle, but they're there. There's a negative idea. So the idea itself has this taint to it, this smell of vomit, okay, that arises in me in terms of a feeling, a queasiness and an uneasiness and a boo, and this visceral part, you know, this feeling part. And then we have other ideas where you escape from prison, or, you know, some other thing where, you know, you have your good moments. So your brain is constantly tainting all of your thoughts with the idea of good and bad. And that's part of what the logic process is. Are you doing good logic? Are you being honest? Are you being an asshole? So the mystic even brings up that point in the video where he's saying, he's showing himself doing something and then actually saying out loud, "What are you doing, asshole?" You know, that kind of thing. Because you made a mistake. And so your brain is constantly checking. Your brain is constantly working at perfecting your performance. And it'll catch yourself being a hypocrite. Or it'll catch yourself saying, "Whoops, I shouldn't have said it that way." You know, it'll catch your mistakes. Okay, where you're breaking the logic and you're causing a disconnect, because, you know, 50 years of life experience have told you something in terms of patterns and ideas and solid ideas, you know, water is wet, and now you're saying something where you're saying, "No, water isn't really wet," and it's like saying, "No, those two things can't exist in, you know, the spaghetti wheel. They can't, that's not going to work, so one of them has to go." It's going to try to resolve the problem because they're conflicting with each other. They're messing, mucking up they're knotting the spaghetti, and the spaghetti can't do its thing if it's got knots in it. That kind of analogy. So, to sum up, I guess I'll go back to, I can't remember his name, unfortunately, but the idea of a homunculus, the idea that there's a me inside of me. Okay, like there's a me inside the brain that's telling the brain what to do. None of that happens. And the theater argument I like, in the sense that your brain is just creating the theater. Okay, it's projecting reality. It's not showing, it's not reality. You're just seeing it on, you're seeing reality on your internal screen. You've taken in the external world in all kinds of weird forms. I can feel the air. It's a little bit humid. I can feel it. Okay. I'm in gravity. I can feel it pushing on me. There's different, you know, I'm in reality, but my brain is synthesizing a version of it. And especially the images, you know, because we three-dimensionalize, we do, you know, our eyes do a lot to create the three-dimensional space we're in. And it's fairly accurate, I'd have to say. So, you know, I don't know whether it's a point. So it's not reality, but it's trying to synthesize as good a version internally. So it's an internal version that has, you know, that it's creating. And the catch is the screen isn't the only input. You're in a chair that can electrocute you, it can vibrate you, it can turn you upside down, it can fuck with you, okay, in terms of feelings. So you're a thing sitting in the theater. There's a screen. The projector shooting the screen, it's affecting you. What you feel changes, you know, manipulates the projector, you know, and the screen starts wobbling or it turns red or, you know, it can get stripe lines in it, it can flip, it can do lots of things because of what's happening to you personally. But oh, that's all you're doing. You're just, it's creating the you. So you are also just a creation inside of the theater. You're just, your consciousness is just the wheel spinning. It's just the you know, the spaghetti that hits this top of the surface. So as the wheel spins, it throws spaghetti onto the surface. You know, that spaghetti has words in it. Those words come into you. You hear, you say the words. You feel yourself thinking the words. You see a little bit of the connection. You know, I say fish and then I say water. You know, the two are connected. You know, I can see the connections between the words and the concepts. I can see a little of that. But obviously your brain is manufacturing it so much more detail. It's creating, again, grammar and sentences and paragraphs and whole pages. And it's doing all that knowing what it's writing. My brain knows what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm doing here. But my subconscious clearly does know what it's doing here. I just have a vague notion that I'm supposed to make a video about an important subject to try to make minds change in a way that'll make them think more and think more carefully and be more thoughtful and be more respectful of torture. And that's what it's supposed to be doing here. But I have no idea what it's going to do, in a sense of how is it going to do this thing? How is it going to write that script? Because I can't write it. I'm here in this moment. I'm just here in this one little second. I can't fucking write a script. I can't write paragraphs. I can't write pages. But somehow my subconscious can. Okay, and it's doing it, and it's using me to say it, and I'm sitting there saying, wow, I said that? That wasn't too bad. I mean, I would argue this video wasn't too bad. I mean, I've got dealt with the concepts fairly well. I gave some pretty good analogies. It was all pretty well done. I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm just sitting here saying, okay, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I just said, brain, do it, because I can't do it. So the I guy is just this victim. He's just sitting there watching the screen and feeling the chair, all right? And that's all he can do. He just sits there in the boat, and the boat's doing its thing. And he has some idea that, well, yeah, it's a boat to a location, so I know where I'm going, but I don't know how I'm getting there. I don't have anything to do with getting there. My brain will do it all, okay, to me. Okay, it'll happen as an event. I will watch the movie of my life. I will watch the movie of me functioning. I won't make the movie. I won't do anything. The concepts will do it. The spaghetti wheel and the connections of the spaghetti ropes will do it. Which piece of spaghetti stuck to which piece of spaghetti will decide what I say, what I do, how I move. All of that is completely dependent on 62 years of spaghetti spinning. All right, and what kind of spaghetti is stuck to what kind of spaghetti? What idea is stuck to what idea? And that's all I am, is a bunch of ideas, a bunch of concepts, a bunch of words, a bunch of themes, a bunch of memes, a bunch of thoughts, a bunch of logic, a bunch of blah, 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 testing, a bunch of testing one idea against another idea and saying which idea is consistent with the picture I'm seeing. That's what my brain has been doing for 62 years, is comparing ideas and saying which idea fits with the three-dimensional universe and this and that and this and that. Which one's consistent? Which one fits better? It's just taking the pieces and seeing what fits, what fits, what fits, what fits with all the other stuff that I said was good, that I said was tested, and it survives the test. water is wet. It survived the test. It's a truth. That's what your brain does. It figures out what words are defined by what other words. The definition of words is just so important. And so that's another thing that's just falling apart. These words are starting to mean nothing. They're so ambiguous and they've lost all direct meaning. The definitions have just gotten mushy and sloppy. All right, but that's a whole nother anti-bullshit man style commentary, about how our vocabulary is turning into Twitter crap. So that's probably enough. But it's really important, I think, for people to have some thoughts about how they think. Because once you start thinking about how you're thinking, then you're inevitably going to be thinking more carefully. There's going to be spaghetti that's actually says you have to, there's going to be a blob of spaghetti that's actually saying, watching the other spaghetti and saying, are you being legitimate spaghetti? I mean, do you have correct connections? Have you properly figured out that, oh yes, I'm supposed to be productive. I'm not supposed to be destructive. Oh yeah, I keep forgetting that part. I'm supposed to, make the air smell better. I'm not supposed to make it smell worse, that kind of thing. I'm supposed to be improving the condition of the universe. I'm not supposed to be degrading it. Oh, okay. So once you have that piece of spaghetti on the wheel, then all of this, it gets a lot harder to get caught up in your own trivial bullshit because it's constantly being fact-checked and constantly being tested. Well, that's not consistent with this spaghetti over here, so you're not going to get away with that. It's going to tilt the wheel, and the wheel's going to say, roll that spaghetti off. You can't play that, okay? Your brain's going to say, homie, don't play that, okay? Because it's figured out it don't work that way. You don't get to make those kind of logic errors. So that's the whole point of all of this, is to prevent people from, or to stop people from, or to help people stop making logical errors. Stop adding up what's going on all wrong and figure out this is the Titanic. It's a trivial pleasure cruise. And it's doomed. It ain't going to work that way. It ain't going to be much fun for most of the victims, for way too many of the victims. And yes, there'll be a few survivors who say, oh, wasn't that an adventure? But the screams and the horror and the terror and the blah, blah, blah are going to make that seem so trivial. Anyway, okay, so I think I've done my job here. And such. So, till the next time, such and so forth. Yeah, see you then. I will endeavor to persevere in this effort to communicate with human beings in a constructive manner that, yes, causes them a little bit of individual discomfort, maybe, but makes them more of an asset to the universe in terms of preventing harm. That's the idea. All right, so just remember, Google is horribly evil. I mean, it's just getting more and more evil every day. I mean, do you see? I mean, sometimes you click on a search and you get all these ads, and then you get the buy this, and then you get this. I mean, you have to scroll through a couple of, pages of scrolling before you start getting anything called a real result. It's just so bad. And, of course, they're not real results. So bad. So bad.